Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you just heard, two of the New York questions tomorrow are about land swaps in the Adirondacks. The more controversial of the two involves a mining company that wants to conduct mining on 200 acres of Adirondack forests that are protected as forever wild under the state constitution. But in exchange, the mining company has offered to give the state 1,500 other acres and to return the land that it will now mine on these 200 acres back to the Adirondack Park when they're done with them. This has split environmentalists. Some, like the League of Conservation Voters and the Adirondack Council, endorse a yes vote, but others don't like the precedent being set here, taking forever wild forest land and turning it to a mining company under any circumstances. So let's talk about these questions now with Brian Mann, reporter with North Country Public Radio. Brian, I spend time every summer in the Adirondacks, and I'm very aware of and very much appreciative of your work. So it's good to have you on WNYC today. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And I guess our vocabulary word for the day is wollastonite, which is the mineral they want to mine for, right?
Yeah, it's this kind of chalky white substance that's used in a whole lot of different industrial applications. It's sort of in your life in lots of different places that you never notice. And it's one of the richest deposits in the world right there, you know, on kind of the flank of the Adirondack Mountain.
So who are these wollastonite kings, and how's their reputation in the park?
Well, you know, they've got a great reputation in the park, and NICO has been here for a very long time. They've got mining operations around the world, but they also are one of the most enduring, you know, companies here. They've provided jobs here for a very long time. And even most environmentalists who oppose this land swap are pretty comfortable with their role. You know, the wollastonite, this process of mining it, does not create a lot of, you know, toxic side effects. It's not a big polluter. And so they've been a relatively welcome part of the community for a long time. This proposal, of course, has sparked a very different level of controversy and debate.
And maybe the most interesting thing about the debate over this proposal, especially to outsiders, is that environmental groups are divided. The New York League of Conservation Voters has endorsed it, so has the Adirondack Council, but the Sierra Club and others are opposed. What's the split among enviros?
Yeah, this is very uncomfortable territory for green groups, especially because most people in New York don't know much about the Adirondack Park, and so they like to speak with one voice whenever possible because they're explaining complicated issues, and they like to make it sort of as understandable as they can. But this time, there's a really deep ideological split here, and on the one hand, you've got groups like the Council and the League of Conservation Voters who are talking about sort of a balancing act between environmental concerns and the health and the economy of these Adirondack communities. These jobs really matter to this local community. On the other side, you've got groups that are more purist. They're more convinced that unless the rules are upheld to the letter and very exactingly, that it could sort of be a nose under the tent and we could see more companies wanting to do more commercial things that involve the forest preserve. So there's really a big standoff there.
And the opponents also argue that some old-growth forests would be destroyed, including sugar maple, American beech, and American basswood trees. Now, I spoke earlier this morning with former New York Governor George Pataki, who is making appearances in favor of the two land swap items on the ballot tomorrow involving the Adirondacks. And I asked him first, about the claim of opponents that the mining would threaten old-growth forests in the areas that would be mined. This is about a three-minute clip. I asked Governor Pataki if indeed some of the trees are old and big and rare.
No, not at all. And, you know, I honestly think Proposition 5 is a real test, not just for the voters of New York, but for the environmental movement in general. And you were talking about what we were able to do. And one of the things that I strive to do was to show people you didn't have to choose between good jobs that let you live in the community you love and enhancing the environment for future generations. This will allow 200 acres to be temporarily loaned to NICO, and that 200 acres has been examined by the DEC and others, and they have found that it's not an old-growth forest. It is land that can be replaced. And in exchange, the Adirondack Forest Preserve is going to get 1,500 acres permanently, forever. And at the end, they will that will be a permanent part of the state preserve, forever wild or forever preserved by the state. And then the 200 acres, once the mining company has been able to keep the jobs going and then remediate it so that it's back in shape like when it left, will be turned back to the state of New York. This is 100 jobs in a poor part of the state. And if the voters of New York can't understand that we have to have the confidence of all the people of this state as we move forward with more land preservation, then I think it's going to pit one group against the other. That doesn't have to be. And that's one of the reasons I'm so strongly in support of this particular Proposition 5.
And the other argument of opponents, does this set a precedent for other takings of forever wild forest land for commercial purposes and kind of opens the door to all kinds of compromises that might be worse than this one?
Not a chance, because the forest preserve is not something that's protected by a law. It's protected by the New York State Constitution. And for this proposal to have gotten on the ballot, it's a constitutional amendment. It has to have been approved by the state legislature. There has to have been an intervening election. Then it has to have been approved by a different state legislature after that election, and then subject to a statewide referendum for the voters of the state to decide. So there's no such thing as a precedent when it comes to amending the Constitution. This is something that is a unique proposal, and it really is a test. We're going to get 1,500 more acres of wilderness for the people to enjoy in the Adirondacks. We're going to temporarily loan these 200 acres. We're going to preserve 100 jobs, most of whom are represented by the Steelworkers Union. And then we get the 200 acres back. And this is just such a great thing for the people of New York. And I'm hopeful that New York City residents and residents across the state will support Proposition 5 and Proposition 4 as well.
Former New York State Governor George Pataki, who had an excellent reputation as governor for preserving lands in the Adirondacks. It's one of the high points of his 12 years as governor, according to many, many people, his interest in setting aside more lands as forever wild in the Adirondacks. And we're talking about Proposition 5 on the New York State ballot, this land swap with a mining company up there, with Brian Mann, the Adirondacks Bureau Chief for North Country Public Radio. So Brian, I guess one thing we have is a disagreement between Pataki and that side and some of the environmentalists on the nature of the trees in this area and whether they would be these old-growth forests that would be threatened. Can you answer that definitively? Is there just a fact check to do, or is it a matter of opinion somehow?
No, I think that it is actually something that, you know, can be said factually. So old growth is usually used by ecologists and scientists to describe stands of trees that have never been logged before. And in this case, that's just not accurate for this. I've asked some of the people making this claim, and they've acknowledged that this land was logged before in the 1800s. On the other hand, it has been untouched for the better part of a century, and it is a beautiful stand of trees. And so it is accurate to say that it's, you know, it's a mature forest. It's, you know, big, beautiful maple and white pine, a gorgeous place. Now, it's also true that the 1,500 acres that would be protected under this deal would eventually look the same way. They would be protected from logging and mining, and therefore, you know, going forward, they would eventually, you know, grow into the same kind of, you know, beautiful forest that's on this 200 acres today. But technically, it's not old growth. It's beautiful. It's been there a long time, but it's not old growth.
And what about the other argument, the one about whether this sets a precedent? If you can take these 200 acres of forever wild forest, forever wild under the Constitution of the State of New York, and make some kind of a deal with a mining company to go exploring there, then tomorrow maybe it'll be something else, and people will argue jobs and economic growth, and that it sets a terrible precedent.
Yeah, I mean, definitely this is a different kind of land swap than we've seen before with, you know, a very specific commercial interest. On the other hand, what former Governor Pataki says there is accurate. Anyone wanting to come forward with this kind of a proposal would have to go through the same multi-year process, two different votes by the state legislature. It would have to, you know, have the support almost certainly of the Conservation Department, and then it would go to a vote of the people like this. And so I think it is arguable that this would change the playing field to some degree, but at the same time, the constitutional amendment process, you know, is a pretty difficult one. And I think one of the other things that's interesting here is that on the other side of this discussion, you have the huge expansion of protected lands in the park over the last 10 years. George Pataki was a big part of that. More than 1 million acres have been protected. And so what a lot of these local communities are saying is, okay, if you're going to protect more and more land around us, we need some flexibility here when economic opportunities like this one arise. And so really you've got those two competing principles, one saying once it's protected, it stays protected, the other side saying, okay, but occasionally communities like this need to have a little wiggle room to keep their economies going.
Let's take a caller. Here is Dan in the Adirondacks. Hey, Dan, you're on WNYC.
Great. Great. Thanks for taking my call. Dan Plumley from Keene. And I just want to say that the former governor is wrong. These are old-growth forests. They may not be virgin. Actually, the state has not provided any history of the lumbering on that property. The trees range in age from 100 to as old as 300 years old. It's an extensive, a near-climax northern hardwood forest that's very unique and relatively rare at this extent in the forest preserve.
And from
in terms of the precedent, we are very concerned that this is the first time that lands would be taken out of protected, designated wilderness. That's often not discussed. These are part of the Jay Wilderness area, protected for its wild nature. And these would be taken out and totally exploited to an open pit mine, 8 to 10 stories deep. And the suggestion that that land is going to be then returned to the forest preserve is ludicrous. You cannot restore a 10-story hole in the ground over 200 acres and make it safe for recreation, much less return the kind of rich ecology that exists on this site at this time.
Dan, thank you for checking in from Keene today. And Brian Mann from North Country Public Radio, what about that last issue? What kind of shape will that land be in, as far as you know, if the company is saying they'll return it to the forest when they're done mining in it? What happens to the land they mine on now? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have been there. And let me just say before I go to that, Brian, that Dan Plumley there, who just spoke, is one of the leaders of a group called Adirondack Wild, and he's been one of the most outspoken opponents of this land swap. He's really led, in many ways, the charge to have this rejected by voters. So
good. So we got Governor Pataki on for a couple of minutes in favor and Dan Plumley on for a couple of minutes opposed. And go ahead.
Right. So this idea of reclamation is a really big one, and I have been on parts of land that NICO has reclaimed. And I think that Dan is correct that this would not be restored to the kind of forest or anything like the kind of forest that exists there now. On the other hand, the places that I've hiked and walked that have been reclaimed, you know, they have trees on them, they have grasslands, they are places where at some point in the future hunters and other people will be able to go. But I do think it's absolutely true that at least for a very, very long time, the ecology of that landscape will be changed dramatically. That's also true, it should be said, for much of the Adirondacks, which were logged and mined heavily before, you know, conservation began. But I think Dan is right. There would be a very significant impact on that 200-acre property.
Before you go, the reason these relatively minor land swaps are on the statewide ballot, and there's another one that we're not even going to talk about that's less controversial, but the reason they're on the statewide ballot is that Forever Wild isn't just a law, it's in the state constitution. But how weird does it seem to you and to the residents of the Adirondacks that this is put up for a vote statewide? 40% of the voters statewide tomorrow, more or less, are expected to be in New York City alone, and then more in other downstate communities who don't know anything about the Adirondacks, who don't know anything about the economy, who don't know anything about Forever Wild, who don't know anything about Wollastonite. It's kind of a strange way to make this decision in a way.
Yeah, it's very strange, and it's very frustrating to people here. On the other hand, you know, the Adirondack Park, it's public land, does belong to all the people of New York State. And so while it's difficult and challenging to educate people about what's at stake in a vote like this, I do think that people often see it as an opportunity to remind folks in Brooklyn and Buffalo and all around the state that this resource is here, that the environmental stakes are very, very high, and yet on the other side of the equation, that there's this very interesting experiment here trying to balance communities and, you know, active economies with this really ambitious environmental model. So, yeah, it's a tough message to get out there with these complicated issues, and people here are very nervous about that. But at the same time, this is a rare chance that we sort of ping on people's radar screen.
And I guess I'm an example of that myself, being that I've gone to the Adirondacks every year for the last 20 years and enjoyed the fruits of the Adirondack Park and listened to North Country Public Radio and donated member dollars. and I certainly see the complexities in this question. So Brian Mann, Adirondack Bureau Chief for North Country Public Radio, thank you very much for coming on and explaining some of this to us.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And that concludes our Direct Democracy special as we tackle the questions on the New York and New Jersey ballots for Election Day tomorrow. More information is on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We also have an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific ballot question poll. So go cast your votes on a few of the questions that we've picked out at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And now that we've gone through all these ballot questions, one more thing to do on the show, ice cream after this.